In West Michigan, a number of public schools are getting back to face-to-face instruction, or have been at it for a few weeks now. We were curious to hear how things are going in Kentwood, a city just outside Grand Rapids. Christina Carbone-Otten is a third-grade teacher at Meadowlawn Elementary, and she joins us now. Christina, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you for having me.
So the first couple of weeks of school for Kentwood were fully remote. Can you tell us a little bit about what that was like?
Yes, the first 2 weeks were online, and we as teachers were working from our classrooms in an empty classroom, right?
And that had to be pretty weird.
Yeah, it was so strange. I mean, the weirdest moment was I was working from my laptop and a document camera twisted upside down and then doing a go noodle, which is like a dance break, brain break thing by myself. And I'm new at this school. And then my secretary walked in. Right? Yeah. I mean, like, you can have that visual. And like, it's just a good laugh. And I'm just so glad that you laughed at April, because like, that's all that we can do for a lot of these things, right? It's just like, find the humor in some of this and roll with it. I mean, it looked ridiculous. So that was strange. And it's been like humbling at the same time of just like the work that we do in our classrooms with our students really is magic.
Yeah. What would you say has been the most rewarding part of this?
Coming back 2 weeks ago to a smaller class size of kiddos who need to be here and seeing their faces and hearing their expression of, I love school, I don't want to leave.
What would you say has been the most challenging part?
The most challenging is not being able to reach students and like seeing how broken our system is, no matter how hardworking us as teachers are or how hardworking parents are trying, there are still gaps and holes.
So like we mentioned, after 2 weeks fully remote, the district is allowing in-person instruction for the families who choose it. And it sounds like you got some real feedback from kids who are very glad about it. Could you give us an estimate of how many kids have chosen that, or how many families have chosen that option to come back in person?
So don't quote me, but really you are quoting me. It's probably about like 70-ish% of the district is back, right? And so it's different per building. And the district did such a great job of trying to keep students who are at the same school with teachers and students from that same school. I am getting a student today who's overflow, which I think is such a blessing that they're making sure like that classroom is capped at this other school and I'm not yet. So this student will be starting in our classroom today.
So we don't want to make too many generalizations, but it sounds like a lot of families in the district decided that, yes, they were ready to come back in person.
We have a huge population of English as a second language students and families, and that is like a huge issue, right, at home. Like, those kiddos need to be hearing and learning in English if that was their parents' goal. And so that's a large part of our population that's back as well.
Right. How would you say you found the kids emotionally and academically? Just where were they when they came back to the classroom?
Grateful is where they were. It was really apparent in those 2 weeks. There were so many breakdowns with those 2 weeks of being remote, from that stress that was put on families and parents and those students to like know what to do was really, really heavy on them. The first week that we were remote, it seemed like a lot of parents and grandparents took time off from work and they were like with me. It was very odd. It was like, anybody have any questions on the Zoom call? Crickets. Okay. Any parents, aunts, uncles, grandmas, grandpas, and moms and dads listening? Do you have questions? And then like 8 faces pop up and you're like, oh dear. Okay.
Oh, wow.
And then the second week, it was like lots of individual parent meetings of, okay, I'm heading back to work this week. I need to know exactly blah, blah, blah. Okay, sure. Take a deep breath. We'll roll with it. It's okay. And then coming back, it was just like, you could feel that kids felt like, okay, there's a clear distinction. Like, we are as adults, right? Of some of us who are able to come back to our offices or whatnot, of routine of home is home and mom and dad are mom and dad. And school is where my teacher is. Like, my mom and dad don't have to play that role of teacher and mom and dad and like caregiver and all of that, you know. It was such a burden, I feel. And so I feel like that's been really, really great for the students who've been able to come back in person.
Now, we know that there is the possibility that Michigan schools will have to go back to remote learning this year, you know, not to jinx it, but it's something that's on everybody's minds. We know that Ingham County has had some case spikes around the university, and everyone's just kind of nervous about that. Are there ways that you feel like you're planning for that uncertainty as a teacher, both in terms of your lesson plan and maybe just what you're trying to prepare the kids for?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if there's anything that I hope that we've taken from this whole like uncertainty is just that it's okay to just roll with whatever happens. You know, on the first day of school, I told the kids, I said, okay, so when it's a different year, so there are different rules. And when an adult tells you this is the plan, you go with it. And then when another adult tells you 4 seconds later a different plan, you're just going to go with that one too. And so I truly think just going day by day, coming here, the sun shining, each day is a gift, is a plus. Then each day we are spending, at least in my classroom in particular, I really love technology. So I'm having the students do flipped lessons where that's me pre-recording a lesson and then they're working through it. And then I can kind of work individually with students, you know, fully masked, of course, and with our plexiglass. And then I can work with them on a smaller individual level. And then that helps them still like have that routine of how do I log into Google Classroom and how do I make sure that this is how I can stop and replay the lesson if I need to and go back and rewind, you know, and just kind of keep that in mind. So if there is the need for us to go back to complete remote of them being at home, that they still have that routine and idea of how to work through something and be problem solvers without, you know, just like waiting and like having that feeling of like learned helplessness from whoever's at home with them.
If you're just joining us, I'm talking with Christina Carbone-Otten, a third grade teacher at Meadowlawn Elementary in Kentwood. I'm glad you mentioned the plexiglass. Could you tell us a little bit about how your classroom looks different this year and maybe how the kids are reacting to that?
So about 5 years ago, I switched everything in my classroom to just being flexible seating. Like, I'm just really open and I love the idea. You know, think about when you walk into like a Starbucks and it's cafe style seating. That's totally what I had in my room. Kids could choose where they wanted to sit in different styles of seating on the carpet next to friends. I mean, and that is not the case here. I have more single desks in my classroom than I feel like I've ever seen in my entire life. And they're all spaced apart. There's zero carpet space, like even in my classroom, there's no way for them to even come to the carpet and gather for a story. So again, different year, different rules. So when Mrs. Otten reads a story, the kids are allowed to sit on their desks this year. You know, I don't know how else you make there be like a mental shift of change. And then any of the desks that are large enough to have two people at them, either it's just a child sitting by themselves or there's a plexiglass in between them, making sure that there's just that visual representation of like no sharing, just talk through the glass.
Do you feel like you can connect with kids under those kind of physical environment?
I think it's up to us as the adults and the teachers and the staff here to make sure that that connection can still happen. When they first walked in, there's so much fear, right? And fear or calm, either one, are extremely contagious. And so as the adult in the classroom, it's my job to feel that temperature. And so for the first 2 days, even in person, even though they've known me for 2 weeks online, at least the first 2 days, I did so much just sharing of myself. They have to get to know me first for them to feel like they could finally make a connection, right? That's not on them as an eight-year-old to be like, oh yeah, I can connect with her. She has a mask on. I'm sure I know what she looks like. No, not true. So yeah, I feel like you can totally make that connection if you make that be your priority. And that hands down is my priority first, right? If we can connect with their hearts, then we can connect with their minds.
Christina, you teach third grade, and that's a pretty consequential year given Michigan's third grade reading laws. Obviously, things are a little bit different this year, but still, I mean, everyone's aware of the academic stakes in that age range. How are you thinking about approaching what kids need to learn, given all the other needs that you're living with in this moment. Is that something you even have the bandwidth to deal with right now?
Did you know that our IRP plans in place for students were due on Friday this week or what? We've got 2 days to put those in place.
I did not. But that's an individual reading plan, I take it?
Yeah. Okay. Yes. So based on their standardized assessment and how they placed in that, then each student is given an individualized reading plan by their teacher K through three. Those for us are due on Friday. So yeah, I mean, like, yes, it's definitely in the back of my mind and everybody's mind here. I mean, it's definitely one of those, like, how are we taking that into account? Like, these kids who are at home and have to be at home, or these kids who are at school and have to be at school, just different learning environments. Right. And so that is hugely a priority. And I know that third grade is such a fundamental year in reading and in math. If a kiddo in third grade doesn't appreciate math, then studies have shown that, like, it's a plummet from here on out because it just gets harder. So it's hugely foundational in all subject areas. So it's on the back of my mind. And I'll just say it again, seriously, if we don't connect to their hearts first, we're not going to connect to their minds, just due to time constraints. There's no in-person switching around for art, music, and PE. So I'm trying to include all of those types of elements in reading lessons so that different parts of the students' brains are activated and that they can just become better readers, you know? I mean, so which one of us doesn't like to talk more than listen? I mean, hello, I'm listening to NPR all the time more than I'd rather sit down and read a newspaper. So it's like, how can I implement areas of that, of just learning and reading and language acquisition throughout the day so that they do meet those standards by the end of the year? Because it will happen. These students and kids are so much more resilient than I feel like any other generation right now that's out there.
Yeah. What would you say your biggest worries are for your students this year? Or if you'd rather frame it another way, what are your biggest hopes for what's going to happen for this school year?
I hope that these students just appreciate connection and like caring on a completely different level than ever before. I hope that they can appreciate working together for the common good. I think that that's so evident in a group of 14 to 20 third graders through here, them wearing their masks when they ask me, Mrs. Otten, why are you wearing your mask all day? We were told we could take our masks off in the classroom. Yeah, I know. And you can. That's why there's the command hook on the side. You can take it off if you need a breather, but I'm going to keep mine on because I want to keep myself safe and you safe. And here we are in week, I think this is week three in person, maybe it's week two. And the amount of students who have now chosen to wear their masks all day in the classroom, not only just in the common areas outside and in the hallway, is just astonishing to me. Students, and kids have that knack of just caring still for the common good of everyone. And I hope that that carries through, like, when they're high schoolers and then when they're off to either their trade school or the workforce or college after that. That is my hope, of just the continuation of the joy and the love to work together for the common good.
Hmm. There were a lot of concerns going into the school year and face-to-face learning about kids, especially younger ones, maybe not being able to deal with the level of physical restrictions that we're putting on them right now. What have you observed of that? Have you observed them being respectful of each other's choices, like mask or no mask?
Oh, yeah. Totally respectful of keeping distant when they need to. Reminders are definitely necessary, but it's more of the reminders of, like, hey, you just, you're heading away from your desk. I need you to put your mask on. It's never like, hey, you need to back away. I think they're really, really respectful of that. And I think a lot of that goes to parents, like you, like, kudos to parents who are reminding them that the school year is just going to look different, which is so, so hard. The hardest is on my door I'm looking at right now. There are like 8 different greetings, socially distant greetings with masks on, and none of them are a hug, you know? Mm. And when kiddos come up and try to give me a hug, you know, I, like, give them a side elbow seems like the most odd and cold way of welcoming a student in the door. So that's been the hardest part, but they've been so respectful and just a joy to see them adapt, right? Kids are just so adaptable, and I love, love, love working with this age group because of that.
Christina Carbone Otten teaches third grade at Meadowlawn Elementary. Christina, hang in there this year.
Thank you. Will do. You too.